Okay, welcome everybody to our special Aseres Yemei Teshuvah Shir. Hey Tishrei, about halfway through these days of Din, ensconced by Rachamim, says the Ramban at the Ohel Sarah Main Group. Thank you all for coming out to learn. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas Sarah Yuta, Alaha HaShalom, Bas Ephraim, Menachem Mendel, V'dina Martin Sheyichyu, V'nasham Mishra Haben Aliyah, in the Schus of our Torah. And as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Chaya Reisel Bas Dina, should be a Schus for her Yeshua, Surus Tovus, Refuos, B'soch Sh'ar Cholei Yisrael. Anyone who needs should have Racham Meshamayim during this very opportune time. So I decided to speak on, Rabbi Tim Fuchs asked me to speak for the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. I decided to speak on Koach HaTfilah. Rav Shimshon Pinkus teaches that nothing comes down to this world without prayer. That's the way Hashgacha works. The way Hashgacha works is, does Hashem know what you need? Does Hashem know how we feel? Yes. And nevertheless, there is a principle of divine intervention that nothing comes down. There is no Shefa Bracha. There is no Aliyah Neshama. There is no Refuah Shalema. There is no Shidduch Mi. There is no Parnasa without telling Kosh Baruch Hu what you need. And this is the time. Imlo Achshav Emasai. There's a principle we daven every day. But this is the time to Shuva, repentance, Tefillah, prayer, Tzedakah, Ma'avir, and Esrael, Adzera. So we declare at the climax of the Rosh Hashanah Tfilas and Asana Togaf, so we will declare on the time period of Yom Kippur as well. Why is it such an opportune time for Tefillah? We don't just come up with this on our own. This is the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening. From the time of Rosh Chodesh Elul, through Yod Tishrei, which is 40 days, 30 days of Elul, Yod Tishrei, it's 40 days. It was these 40 days from when we begin our introspection, from when we begin our process of Teshuvah and coming close to Ribbono Shel Olam, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened. He was actually up there for three sets of 40 days. The first time he got the first luchos, he came down, he saw the Egel Azarv, Shuvas Rabbah Tammuz, he threw them down. He went back up on Yud Ches Tammuz and he davened for forgiveness. And Chazal Tei, it was a time of din, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with Knesset Yisrael. And then from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom Kippur, he davened more. And this is the time of our tefillah, Ma'avir Nisroel Gzeir. That's exactly what happened. After Chayda Egel, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to destroy us. Moshe davened. What did Hashem declare on Yom Kippur? Salachti Kidvarecha. I have forgiven you, even though Din wanted to destroy Knesset Yisrael. How could you do Chayda Ega? How could you do Ega Azav? Were you not just at Sinai? Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Ashot Tzitzicha Meretz Yitzrayim Beis Avadim? You didn't hear that there's one God? And you didn't hear Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai? You didn't hear you shall not have gods of others before me? It was a marriage contract at Har Sinai. So we just got married to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was the Chasan, we were the Kala. The mountain was the chuppah, the star, the ksuba was the Torah. And then we went and we transgressed. So you can't do that. So it was a time of din. It was a time of roah ha-gezerah. And nevertheless, through the power of prayer, whose prayer? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ribbono Shel Olam as ma'avir, that roah ha-gezerah. That's the koach we're tapping into. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillos during this time that set the stage for all time. For us to be ma'avir as roah ha-gezerah through that time period. The following story, you never know when you're going to find or where you're going to find inspiration. So it's interesting. The following story I read in a Nefesh B'Nefesh magazine. And I've told it over sometimes before, and I think that it's so impactful and so moving. The person who wrote this is Shev Zaks, B'Shem Amra. She wrote this story in a Nefesh B'Nefesh magazine. I was exhausted. I had just finished an incredibly annoying day. We all know about those days sometimes. My backpack was heavy. I didn't feel like walking, she writes. I was relieved when a taxi finally stopped to pick me up. The driver was chatty. I was too tired to engage. I answered his questions automatically. Yes, I am American. Yes, I wanted to make Aliyah. Yes, I am Jewish. Am I dati? Yes, I am dati, religious. Do I like being religious? Yes, of course. Do I know what tehillim are? Yes. I know what tehillim are, I told the nahag, I told the driver. After I answered his last question, he leaned over. He opened the glove compartment and he pulled out a worn green Sefer Tehillim from the glove compartment. He handed it to me. This green Sefer Tehillim, which was clearly used a lot, was wrapped in plastic. I said it was beautiful. I tried to hand it back. Remember, she was not in the mood for talking. She had had an incredibly annoying day. This is after a whole slew of questions. He gave it back to me. He said, keep it. It used to belong to my daughter. The driver kept talking. He told me how beautiful his daughter was. She was sweet. She was smart. She had earned 2 degrees in medicine. She was thinking of getting married. One night she went to sleep, and his beautiful daughter did not wake up. He told me I should keep the Tehillim. When I felt alone, when I was sad, if I was sick, if I was missing my family, if I was worried about a loved one, I should read from this book of Tehillim. He told me I should read it when I was getting ready to get married. I said how sorry I was about his daughter. I thanked him for the Sefer, which I kept. We arrived at my kibbutz. I got out of the car. Thanks again, I said. I smiled, he waved, and we said goodbye. Teshuva, tefila, tzedakah, ma'avirin es roh ha'gzera. The time is now. Imlo achshav emasa. Of course we daven every day, and we daven every time. But the time to change our fate, to shape our destiny for the coming year, it's now. It's a given. It's something to take for granted that we have entered Tafshin Ein Ches, that we are here, Baruch Shechiyanu V'kiyimanu V'giyanu L'zman Hazeh. Did it happen by chance that we were given a new year of life? We all know people who were here at Tafshin Ein Zion or Rachmana Litzlan are not anymore. Rav Shimshon Pinkus gives a mashal, and he says it's like fish caught in a net. So the fish swim into the net to grab the bait, to grab the food. And then they realize the net closes over them, and they're closed, they're trapped. They say, oi, we should have taken the food and swam out before the net closed. He says the fish don't realize the food is in the net, the net's already closed. Rav Pinkus says, whatever happens to us during the duration of our year is decreed now. What is Ni'ilat Shar? The closing of the gates, the closing of the net. That is when everything is determined for the coming year. Emlo Achshav Emasai. My grandfather writes in his memoirs, my grandfather Yitzchak Ben Moshe, Alav Hashalom, and I quote from them often. He calls his memoirs In 7 Camps in 3 Years. It was written in Yiddish. My mother had it professionally translated for us. And he writes about his experiences. His wife was killed. His daughter, Devorah, who was named for the Haftorah Devorah, Parshas B'Shalach, she was killed. He writes of his experiences. And he writes at one point in one camp, they came back from a day of back-breaking labor, and they gathered in the barracks so that Ne'ila could be davened with a minyan. What's the hardest part of my Yom Kippur? That I have to fast? That by the afternoon I'm hungry? And maybe I don't want to sit in shul a little bit longer? What am I going to eat? They daven. I can't even imagine. I can't believe it was my grandfather. I can't imagine such a madriga. But after a day of avodas parach, called ben hayilad hayar tashlichu, when we called out, said my grandfather, the heavens were closed to us. It's known that it's a time of Hester Panim, which we don't try and explain and we don't try to understand. We cannot. Yet they went to the barracks to daven Ne'ilah with a minyan. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says something very, very beautiful about tefillah, davka during this time period. Look at all my stickies. The svarim that I use during certain time periods have stickies. I have to remember which sticky goes for which class. So this one I put on top, so I shouldn't become confused by other ones on the side. Sometimes we focus on the outcome of prayer. It's true. Why do you daven for something or for someone? So you should see a Yeshua. Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto ki akarahi. Vayeter lo Hashem, Yitzchak, beginning of Parshas Toldos, Perchav, hey, Yitzchak davened to Hashem for his wife. We read about Akedas Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah, of course, the second day, his story. Right after his story, we read that Rivka was born. Right after Nachar and Besua is Rivka, they get married, they don't have children. Vayeter Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto. Why do you need the words ki akarahi? Obviously, she has not had children. Otherwise, the Torah would have told us she has children. So why does it need to say because she was barren? So that's the principle that we began the shir with. What do Chazal say? What does Rav Pinchas say? Nothing in the world comes down without telling Hashem what you need. So that means there's no Shefer Bracha. There will not be a Yaakov Avinu to carry on the Uma Yisraelis unless you tell the Ribbono Shalom. Ki Akari, I'm telling you why I'm davening. God didn't know that Yitzchak is barren, Rivka, and he didn't know that he promised Avraham Avinu, Kol Sher Tamar Lachasar Shma Bekola Ki B'Yitzchak Yikari Lachazara, first day of Rosh Hashanah reading. We didn't know that through this child your progeny will be. But where's the child? There's no child. I'm davening to Hashem. You don't need the words, ki akarahi. Do you understand? You don't need those words. Just tell me, you daven to Hashem. Hashem, listen, she had a child. Vatahar, we have twins, mazel tov. Ki akarahi. Shifri kamayim libech nochach p'nei Hashem. What do you need? Tell God. But sometimes we only focus on the outcome as the goal of prayer. What is the goal of tefillah? So that person will have a shidduch. What is the goal of tefillah? That person will make parnasa. An ani is nachshav kames. It's a terrible nisayon. So you daven so that person should have a yeshua. Is that really the goal of prayer? To get what you want or to get what you think you need? So I'm going to quote from Rav Shimshon Pinchas. Could you hear me in the back? Okay. This is a whole new way, he writes, to look at the avoda that we perform on Rosh Hashanah. Now this is specifically Mo'adei Hashanah for Rosh Elul and Rosh Hashanah, but he's talking about tefillah. Tefillah does not begin and end on Rosh Hashanah. Every day we say Shira Malsmi Ma Makim Karasich Hashem. We add the kapitel and after Yishtabach. What do we gain by davening well on Rosh Hashanah? Adds Rav Pinchas. Now again, put in any time. Put in Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Put in Yom Kippur. Maybe you will get a good year. Maybe we will be granted all the wishes of our heart. Maybe. What's the flip side of maybe? Maybe not. But through prayer, you gain something much greater than the wishes of your heart. Quote, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ultimate goal of tefillah, I don't know if my grandfather was liberated right after that, I don't think so. So why are you davening? You're in the gates of hell. His 18-month-old daughter was taken and killed. Devorah Shem Yukom Dama. He writes in the beginning of his memoirs, I was so naive, he writes, that first Shabbos, I was dressed in my Shabbos kapata. I had a chumash under my arm. I was going to lead the davening at so-and-so's house. By then it was forbidden to go to shul. And the Germans accosted me. Where are they taking me, I thought, writes my grandfather. It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. I have to go to shul to daven halal. He writes about himself, I was then so naive. They took him in a truck. He thought to himself, I should have worn my weekday clothing. I'm wearing my Shabbos kapata. He had to unload coal from boxcars all day. He says, the true hell had not yet begun. So you come from this and so much worse and you daven the Elah, is Mashiach coming? I don't know. Apparently Mashiach didn't come yet. What's a tefillah? Says Rav Pinchas. What do we gain by davening well? Leave out the words on Rosh Hashanah. What do we gain by davening well? Maybe you'll get a good year. Maybe the wishes of your heart will be fulfilled. But above all, you gain something far greater. A connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We attach ourselves through prayer to Hashem. Through tefillah with kavana, he adds, which is key. I read something so beautiful in the Machzor Masoras HaRav for Rosh Hashanah, which I'm going to quote from Sumbli Nader. And the Rav says, some people are different in public and in private. And you find people who were fine, upstanding people in public, and in private they were nasty people. He says his grandfather, Chaim Brisker Zatzal, Tzuso Yagen Eleinu, his Shmona Esrei was not 1 minute longer if he was alone in private or if he was in shul in public. Rav says some people, Dad, who is so much kavana, when they're in public, what's that person going to think? What's that person going to think? I'm up to Modim, he's up to Sim Shalom, I have to hurry, I have to slow. Chaim Brisker's tefillah was not 1 minute longer when he was alone with the Ribbono Shel Olam and when he was in shul. Through tefillah with kavana, through the avoda of Elul and the days of teshuvah, we tap into the power of Moshe Rabbeinu. We bring Hashem into our lives. That's the goal of prayer. We draw close to Him. I'm still quoting from a Pinkus. We feel a sense of belonging to Him. And this is more important than life itself. Why? Because life comes and life goes. Mi yechya, mi yamus, mi bekitzo, mi lo bekitzo, mi b'may, mi b'esh, mi b'charev. I thought of the Salmon family when I said mi b'charev. Mi b'skila. Kobe Mendel and Yossi Ishvan took a day off of school to hike in their homes, in the caves behind their homes in Tekoa. Mi b'skila. Mi b'mayim. This is more important than life itself, a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam is eternal. It's forever. He is Chai V'Kayim. La'olam u'le'ome olamin. And my goof is finite. Today it's here, tomorrow b'kever. Ad mei aves shana. So what do I gain through prayer? I know Hashem. I make room for Him. He's in my life. That's the first and primary goal of tefillah. Whatever else I get out through it, good. But that's not the goal. Now we are working our way, says Rav Pinkus, through a system of yamim no ra'im. What's the goal? To discover Hashem. That's what he says, to discover Hashem. The goal is, atah ha-reso le-da'as, you have been shown to know, ki Hashem hu alokim. The goal is to discover the power inherent in our prayer and bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. And he repeats it a number of times. Of course, there are lots of roads, but they all lead to the same place, the same town. There are lots of roads. One person's davening, for Shidduchim. And one person's davening for Refuah. And one person's davening for Shalom Bais. One person's davening for Eretz Yisrael. We should all be davening for Eretz Yisrael. But all roads lead to the same place. The same town. There's regret. There's fear. These are the very days of Elo. These are the days of Slichos. These are the days of Teshuvah. It's all part of the same system. Where's the town? Where does everything lead? Where are we all going? A connection, a tangible sense of belonging to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we want to travel for a certain town, if we want to travel to a certain town, says Rav Pinkus, you need to look for the road signs. Today you wouldn't look for the road signs anymore. What would you look at? This is my report. Your GPS. The Waze. Okay. But you still look and you want to see the direction you're going in. How did we get anywhere before that? Thus we need to look in the beginning of Elul for the sign that shows us the goal at the end of this tekufa. What's the first sign that we encounter right away on Rosh Chodesh Elul? We still say Kapitel Chaf Zayin every day, twice a day, Shachris Mincha, Nusach Sfar, Shachris Arvis, Nusach Ashkenaz. What's the goal? Anila Dodi, says Rav Pinkus. Vidodili. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. To be close with Hashem, says Rav Pinchas, to make him part of your life. And that is what we spend so much time doing when we daven. Everyone talks, what time did your minyan finish? But what time did you start? What time did your minyan finish? What time did you start? But you have to get it all in for the whole year. And you have to fortify your connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. When? Now. David HaMelech says, V'ani tefillah, I am prayer. My essence is prayer. When I learn Torah, says the Raga Chavar Gaon, I learn Torah, Hashem talks to me. So beautiful. You have a ha'ara, a thought, you're so excited. It's a geshmak feeling, a really beautiful feeling. Hashem's talking to you. But says the Raga Chavar, when you daven, you're talking to Hashem. And it's a chance to beseech him, to talk to him, to cry. Tell him what you need, what you want, how you're lacking, because you feel distant. What's the greatest consequence of sin? Distance from Hashem. Therefore, the greatest mile of coming back through teshuvah is closeness to Hashem. Va'ani kirvas alokim li tov. It's good for me, first and foremost, to make room for Hashem. Rav Pinchas says, the sad reality is we don't have time for Hashem. That's what he says. I've said this in other shiurim. It's so important to reiterate. I'm talking to myself first. Believe me, I'm talking to myself. We have time for everything else, says Rav Pinchas. Think of all the things you have time for. I have time to eat. I have time to put on my makeup. I have time to exercise. Sometimes, not always. I have time to go to the grocery. I have time to cook. You should. Good. Says Rav Pinchas, when it comes to tefillah, people are closing the sitter. They're running out. But you have time for everything else, and nothing happens without prayer, and you're fortifying your connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. So we make time for everything, except what is paramount. What gives us the right to daven, says Rav Soloveitchik? Because the Avos davened. They set the precedent for prayer. Because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Maseches Brachos were misakein in the correct order, Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis, so I can daven. Otherwise, it seems audacious for finite men to implore, to beseech, to entreat infinite God. I should tell you. But Avram was Masak in Shachris, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Vayamad Alamak Mishar Amad of Hashem. I believe it's Parakyatessa, Bereshis. Right after Stom and Amar were destroyed, Avram Avinu davened. Shachris, says Chazal. Yitzchak, and the Parak of David. Vayetze Yitzchak Lesuch Basada Lifnos Arab. The Shidduch is coming to town. What does it teach you? When the Shidduch is coming, what do you have to do? Davin, davin, davin. I'm not making a joke. What do you learn from Perek of Dalet? Sometimes it's one of the longest prakim. Why do you need the whole long story? Samech Zayim Sukkim, 67 Sukkim. I need to know. Eliezer repeats the whole story. I'm just going off a little tangent here, but I think all of us are davening for Shidduchim. Whether it's for family or friends, everyone's davening for someone for Shidduchim. So Samech Zayim, I need to know Eliezer, and he needs to retell the whole story. Just tell me. They met at the well, take her home, everyone gets married. So Atar Habib told me this many years ago. She said, the Shidduch doesn't always come so fast. Sometimes you have to wait 67 verses long to get to the end, to the conclusion. It's beautiful ha'ara. And what is added in there? Tefillah. What's Yitzchak doing when the kala comes home? He's davening. What's he davening? What does lifnos erev mean? It's turning into evening. That means it's not morning, it's not evening, it's turning. What is it? Say Chazal, Yitzchak was misakin, Mincha, the afternoon prayer. How do I know he was davening? Vayetzi Yitzchak lasuach besadeh. So Rashi says lashon tefillah. Targum Onkelos also translates it, explains it as prayer. It's beautiful when you're in a time of transition. He's not in his mother's house. He's not in his wife's house. It's a time of transition. That's mincha. It's not morning. It's not afternoon. So you stop. You take stock. You're in a transition. You daven. And finally, Perachat Chas. Yaakov's running away. Esav wants to kill him. He's all alone. Vayifka b'makom vayalen shem kiva ha-shemesh. Ah, the sun sets. Pigi'ah. Vayifka b'makom. He encountered the place. Pigi'ah b'makom. What's the name of Hashem? Makom. Vayifka b'makom. He encountered Hashem in the place. Echazal. He was Masakin Arvis. It's interesting that when the Avos were misakin the Tfilos, it's interesting to look at the context in which they were misakin the Tfilos. So we already looked at the context in which Yitzchak was misakin Mincha. Is everyone with me? So time of, what do we say? I think I used the word transition. Did I use that word? It's a time of transition. He's not in his parents' home. He's not in his wife's home. He's sort of basadeh in an open place. Not sure where he's headed. That's the afternoon time. Let's go back to Avraham Avinu. Avraham, if I forget, remind me that I want to tell you something that Rabbi Penner said that's very beautiful. After we look at the three instances of when the sages daven, I want to add something in. So what about Avraham Avinu? It's fascinating. Why did Chazal pick Dafka this time to tell me that Avraham was Misakin Shachas? Three times by Avraham Avinu it says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. When you wake up early in the morning, you have to pray. In fact, we read the first two in Rosh Hashanah Torah reading. The first one when he sends away Hagar and Yishmael. Avraham woke up early in the morning. The second one on the second day of Torah reading. No, yeah, the second one on the second day of Torah reading by the Akedah. He woke up early in the morning, he saddles the donkey, he takes the wood, the lad, they start their journey. And the third one, by Sodom and Gomorrah. Why is that so important? Because what was he doing the day before, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker? I can't hear you. No, the K is Perachav Beis, and this is Perak Yotas. So what's he doing before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? What's he doing the day before? He's davening for Sodom and Gomorrah to be saved.
Yeah, he's asking Hashem if there are only three people, or four people, or five people. He didn't want it to be destroyed. He kept asking if there are 10, 9, 8.
He's davening for them to be saved. One second, please. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shalkol Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
He's davening. So then he goes to sleep and he wakes up. What happened? Sodom's destroyed. So what does Avraham Avinu do? He davens. That's unbelievable. He doesn't throw in the towel. We're finished over here. Thank you very much. You didn't hear me. You didn't listen to me. I'm out of here. No, what does he do? He wakes up and he davens again and he looks out over the plain. It's called Arei HaKikar. Kulo Ashan. It's smoking like the smoke of a lime pit. What does Avraham Avinu say? You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to reconnect with God. What's the primary purpose of prayer? To sedave Sodom and Gomorrah or to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam. And Davka here, Chazal say, you know when he was Misakin Shachris? Right then. When he was facing destruction. And it seems that his tefillos were not answered. So he picked up the sitter Nachamo. I don't know if he had a sitter back then. I don't think so. But you understand. And he davened again. Oive. Yes, I'm not going to hear. That's why I said oive, not that there's a question. Oive, it's too far. I'm sorry. On the level of the pshat, Avraham Avinu is davening. It's a very valid point. We're going to get to there soon. On the level of pshat, Avraham Avinu is davening for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah not to be destroyed. We destroyed Tzaddik with Rasha, 50 people, 45, 40, down to 10, down to a minion. That's what he was asking for. But in the end, Lamaisa, that's not what happened. So we're going to talk about after how his tefillos were answered. But according to the pshat, you wake up in the morning, you know, not everyone has the foresight to say, oh good, I davened, I know in five generations I'm going to be answered. What do I want? Now. And finally, but it's absolutely true, his tefillos were answered over the long term. The Indian is, we need the amuna to know that it's being answered over the long term. It's not so easy. And finally, Yaakov Avinu, when is he misaken? Arvis, Erev, the root word, whether it's Arvis or Mariv, the root word is Erev. Erev is night, Erev is Irbuvia. It's night, it's confusion, it's a difficult time. You know, it's funny, but this is a true story. I don't like to take out the garbage at night. It's the same exact path from the kitchen sliding door down three steps to the garbage can. So why don't I like take out a night? Maybe there's something I can't see. I'm really not making a joke. I don't like it. I don't feel so comfortable. What's the difference? Erev is a time of darkness. And he was Misake in Arvis. It wasn't just physically a dark time in the environment, but in his life. It was a time of irbuvia. It's confusion. He's sent away from home. His brother wants to kill him. He's not married yet. He doesn't have a family. He's not established. He's a guy alone on the run. And what does he do in that difficult time? He davens. So when we look at when, you know, we always say, oh, the Avos were misakin and tefillah, so we daven. But look at the situation or environment or happening surrounding when they established the tefillahs. It teaches us so much about emunah, about connecting with Hashem. When you wake up in the morning and it seems like your tefillahs were not answered, so what should you do? Not only were they not answered, it's totally destroyed. It's overturned. When you're at a time of indecision, basada. Sada denotes vast openness. You're not sure which direction to go in the sada. You're not here, you're not there. So what should you do? Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada. He goes out to daven. And finally, Arvis. When it's a time of Erev, when it's a time of Irbuvia, it's night and it's confusion. So what do you do? Shivchi kamayim libech. Nochach p'nei Hashem. So I said, I want to tell you something about Panasite, I remembered. So I heard him say something very beautiful. I was listening to Shir online. I don't remember who he quoted, but my B'Shem Amro is Rabbi Penner, the dean of Aritz, OIU. So Rabbi Penner says, why does a person daven three times a day? Yes, we already established that the Avos were Misakin Tefillos. The Halacha says we daven three times a day, but hashkafically. He says something very important. It only takes a few hours for us to forget who's running the show. It only takes a few hours for us to think we're in charge. So you wake up in the morning and you daven in the morning. Hashem's going to give me the koach and let me get safely to where I'm going and everything should go well. And you have a nice day. And by afternoon, maybe you think, look what a good day I had. Things are going so well for me. Wow, I made a great deal. I bought the right stocks. I don't know. So Rabbi Penner says, so what do then? You daven. It only takes a few hours for us to forget who's running the show, who's in charge. But I need to feel up. I am the embodiment of prayer. So interesting. We just came off of Rosh Hashanah. I hope that everyone had a meaningful Yom Tov. We're going into Yom Kippur. And you're in shul and you're surrounded by other people who are davening. And we're all saying the same thing at the same time. And we have our machzors over our faces. What does it mean, va'ani tefillah? I'm totally different in prayer than the person next to me. We could all be saying the exact same words. But your prayer is entirely different. What she's crying for during Tkiyah Shofar is not what you're crying for during Tkiyah Shofar. Ah, but you're all hearing Tkiyah Shofar M'Truah Tkiyah. You're all saying Hayom Haras Olam. Everyone's davening something else. Yes?
David said I need to Shlomo added Anichoma, which calls Anichoma.
Anichoma.
So Anitvila, and then it's almost like you should set up a wall between you and the next person so that you concentrate directly on the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Okay. Okay. Chom is interesting word to bring up because there's two words for wild nashon kodesh. It's not any kir, which the root word is kar. I'm cold to the person next to me. Choma, the root word is cham, warmth. And even though you're putting up a wall, it's not a kir. We ask Hashem Tivna Chomot Yerushalayim. Should embrace us with your warmth. So it's interesting that you pick up on that, or you brought up that precise nekuda, because Rav Nesson Tzvi Finka, I just told this over last night at home, at the dinner table, I think. Rav Nesson Tzvi Finka said, at the last Rosh Hashanah of his life, before Rosh Hashanah, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, previous Rosh Hashiva, Vishiva Smir Yerushalayim, unbelievable Gaon. So he said, people got up, and he said, before the last Rosh Hashanah of his life, he was Nifter in Cheshvan, he stood up at the podium and he said, people want to know what you should think about during Tkiyah Shofar. He said, think about the person next to you. That's Ani Choma. Not Ani Kir, which would denote, is everyone with me? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Kir is a word for wall in Hebrew. The root word of kir is kar. If you don't know the Lashon HaKodesh, please take my word for it. Kir, I don't have my blackboard, sometimes we have the blackboard here. Kir is kar, cold, kaltkeit. I put up a barricade between me and the person next to me. I want to build a wall between me and Mexico. I want total distinction and differentiation. We're going to be cold to the next person. Choma, to put up a wall between you and the next person, that's a choma. Root word is cham. We ask Hashem not to build kirot Yerushalayim, but chomos Yerushalayim. Surround us with your warmth. And if it's beautifully into what Rav Nesson Tzvi said, that if you want to know what you should think about during Tkiyah Shofar, the person next to you. Put up warmth. We should all feel kiyush echad. It's so beautiful. Thank you. Kiyush echad b'lev echad. So what was I saying? I was saying that every person is different in their prayer. Because the essence of prayer is your heart. Maseches Tainis. The very beginning of the Gemara, Maseches Tainis, tells us, Ezehi avoda shebelevu la'avda b'chol avavchem v'chol nafshechem perikir aleph of Devar, what we refer to as the second paragraph of Shema. V'la'avda b'chol avavchem v'chol nafshechem, you shall serve God with your heart and your soul. So, Chazal say, how do you serve God with your heart? You want me to blow shofar? I know how to do it. You want me to fast on Yom Kippur? I know what to do. You want me to fulfill Taras HaMishpacha, Hadakas Neiros, Matzah on Pesach? Tangible. I know what to do. How do I serve God with my heart? That's not tangible. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. Ezahi avoda shehi balev, have omer zohi tfila. If you want to know what it means to give God your heart, it means to pray. It's easy to open up the machzor and flip the pages. I'm not saying we do that here. But sometimes, I too forget what kavana means. My mind also wanders. But give him your heart. And that means that what you're davening for is not what the person next to you is davening for. Everyone's tefillah is unique. Va'ani, says David HaMelech, tefillah. It's not possible that we're saying the same thing, because we're not. Beautiful. Choma. Rav Nesson Tzvi. Don't forget that. Very nice art. I want to now quote from Rav Soloveitchik, and he distinguishes and differentiates. I never saw this Sa'ar before. I learned it on Yom Kippur. I learned it on Rosh Hashanah. So beautiful. He distinguishes between the neshama chitzonius and the neshama pnimius, the external part of man and the internal part of man. I'm going to quote from the Rav. The blessings of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are amongst the most beautiful and eloquent prayers composed by man. In fact, he held, it's very interesting, that if a person, he held, not if a person's able to, that a person should stand during Chazaras Tashatz with their feet together, as if they were the ones davening in order to be Yotzei the Tefillah. He did not allow singing, because you had to hear every single word uttered by the Shliach Tzibur. And if you did not, I'm just telling you what I read from his halachas. I'm not quoting any Piskei Halacha. It's just an interesting ha'ara. Because you have to hear every single word in order to be Yotzei, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And he says these are the most beautiful and eloquent prayers composed by man. Composed by man. And yet in turn they are supported by the most sublime verses in Tanakh. They're a compilation of different verses from Tanakh. Yet these prayers are the product of the external soul. The neshama chitzonius. The prayers that we utter, the psukim we say, the davening with our lips is the product of the neshama chitzoniut, chitzonis, outer soul. Every Jew has a different soul, a certain essence, an uncorrupted inner soul. And that's the neshama pnimius. And it's different. No matter how beautiful a prayer may be, and he's talking about at the level of our mouths, at the level of composition, no matter how beautiful a prayer may be, it is inadequate. Because the neshama pnimius cannot fully participate with any action of the neshama chitonius. You understand how deep this is? Those prayers that were compiled through the verses in Tanakh are a product of our externality. My mind, my hand, my thoughts, my mouth. But the neshama pnimius cannot participate in verbal expression of prayer. The neshama chitzonius expresses verbal expression of prayer. But the neshama pnimius cannot join, cannot be involved in external expression of prayer. We are obligated, therefore, to blow shofar at the end of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, since the non-verbal prayer of the shofar blast is the prayer of the neshama pnimius. It's so beautiful. Say all these poetic, amazing phrases and verses and words and psukim, and we crown Shem Melach, Malchios, and Zichronos, and Shofaros. Everything to remind us of this, to crown God King. So why do you need to blow shofar at the end of these sections? Because as exalted as those tefillos are, they are a product of the neshama chitzonius, the external soul, and the external internal soul, the pnimius of a person, the root of a person, cannot express itself through chitzonius. We need a non-verbal cry to express the longings, the feelings, the connection, the passion of the soul, of the inner self. And that's the neshama pnimius, which davens through the shofar. The sound of the shofar speaks to our inner essence, devoid of any pretense, devoid of intellectualization. It is not the product of cultured man. It is the product of the soul itself. Now keep this in mind. I know we already went through the shofar blast, but how do we end the entire period, this entire tkufa, this entire 40 days? What's the last thing we do on Yom Kippur? Be'eis ne'ilah shar. We blow one long, exalted, soaring tekiyah gedola. As if everything we said is inadequate. All these 40 days have not managed to accomplish what we need to say from the pnimius of a person. That can only come out in the blast of the shofar. As the blessings of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros merge with the shofar blast that are subsequently blown, the exalted prayer of the neshama chitzonius merges with the simple sound of the neshama pnimius. Yes.
So I understood.
There's so many questions. It means it's good.
It's excellent. when she said about Anit Tfila, so I picture totally different. Not just about Anit Tfila in Tehillim. When Dabar Mal, to me, what you were saying is that the Chitzonos, I think that the goal of Tfila, at least for me, was that by the time the shofar came, I was one. In other words, my neshama, Panemius,
and your Chitzonos,
by the time that coal came,
okay,
I completely felt like David HaMelech. I felt like I am one. Like the outside hit the inside. It did what it had to do to trigger.
But it's a contradiction, because as heilig, as holy, as passionate, as geschmack as we feel, the neshama, by definition, cannot totally merge with the chitonius of man. Because it's from a different realm, it's from a different world. It's a chelak alokai mima'al. And the portion of God from above cannot absolutely fuse with externality. Even though what you're saying is very beautiful, it's a very high madriga, halavai, you should be there.
I mean, it's just that's
but there's still some disconnect, because the soul is not the guf.
Right. Thank you.
So I want to address what the Rebbetzin brought up, and that is where Avraham Avinu's tefillos answered. So according to the level of the psha, when you look at the siddur, at the chomesh, Avraham Avinu was davening that Sodom should be saved, Sodom was not saved, and Amor was not saved, it was smoking like the smoke of a live bit. But what's very interesting is that in that passage, the Torah tells us that Elohim remembered Avram. He took Lot out of the destruction. And the very next thing we're told is a story of incest. Very strange. Very strange. Lot saved. He and his daughters go to the cave. There's wine prepared for them, says Rashi. So clearly there's haskama mina shamayim. The Bechira is acting l'shem shamayim. She thinks that it's totally destroyed the entire world. She doesn't know that the hurricane just hit her neighborhood. It's way before. I remember 9/11. We didn't know what was going on until we came home. You weren't walking around with computers always in your hand. So go back thousands of years, and they don't know what's going on. They look out their Dalet Amos. Everything's smoking. There's no one left. We better repopulate the world, because if we don't repopulate the world, and there's nothing here. So she was acting l'shem shamayim. Let's give our father wine to drink. I'll lay with him tonight. You lay with him tomorrow. Very nice. Very strange. Moav and Avmon are born. Moav, may Av, not a tsunua name from his father. She publicized that the child is a product of a relation between a daughter and a father. Not very tsnius. Okay. So what's going on here? So Rabbi Ronen Neuwirth explains what's going on here. What happened to Avraham Avinu's tefillos that seemed to be unanswered? They were needed not to save the people of Sodom and Amorah, to save Lot himself. They were channeled into a different place than when Avraham Avinu thought they would go to, so to speak. They were used to save Lot. Lot was saved with his two daughters. By the way, important, the daughter was forward-facing. Aishas Lot was rear-facing. Why isn't she allowed to turn around, leave that bad part of you, and move on in life? She was not able to move on in life. She was rear-facing. It's not an accident. She was turned to salt. Salt is something that preserves. If you want to remain stuck in the past, we'll preserve you in the past. Our tafkid is to always move forward in life. And that is the koach this Bechira had. She was forward facing. So still, it's a story of incest. It's not nice. It's not Tsanua. But who was born as a product of that union? Moav, who comes from Moav? Who comes from Rus? David Melech Yisrael. So were Avraham Avinu's tefillos answered? And perhaps that's an important way to end today's shir. Because the Maisa, we do want to come close to Hashem, because the neshama pnimius is derived from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, so to speak. It can't cling to Gashmius. You know, it's interesting. We recently moved. Just a few weeks ago, we moved. So I said to my brother, who I often quote, said, you know, it's so weird that I don't feel weird to be in a different house. It's very strange. I lived in that house for 13 years, and from the morning I woke up in the house, it didn't feel weird. How could that be? And my brother said to me, it's an answer only he would tell me. He said, because your neshama is not connected to Gashmius. So it doesn't feel weird because you're not connected to anything Gashmius. This is his perspective. But the neshama chitzonius and the neshama pnimius cannot ever fuse absolutely. So the goal is, with prayer, to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The secondary goal is, please answer our prayers. It takes tremendous emuna and dveikus, klingon, and bitachon, trust, to know and believe that even if we wake up and the arei hakikar are smoking like the smoke of a lime pit, our tefillos have been heard and channeled. And it's not an easy avoda. And I don't say this lightly. Salvechuk says Hashem is always shomea tefillah. He's not always mikabel tefillah in the way we ask. He says, and actually Rav Shai Shechter told me that his father, Rav Hashashiva of Herschel Shechter, was in the shir when the Rav said this. He davened over and over in the 1930s to be allowed to stay in Europe, of Salvechuk. He didn't just daven once, Rav Herschel Shechter said, related to me by his son, Rav Shai Shechter. He asked repeatedly, over and over, to stay in Europe. So Hashem is not makabel those tefillos. He's shomea those tefillos. But had he been allowed, had the tefillos been answered in the way he asked, it takes tremendous emunah. I'm not minimizing, I'm not diminishing, I'm speaking to myself. Avraham Avinu is the one who discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everybody else was an idol worshiper. I saw something so beautiful on Rosh Hashanah, also in this Machzor. I really recommend this. Machzor Masoros Harav, they have it for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I'm not going to tell you the whole excerpt, but one line. There's the Sinaitic covenant, I hope I'm saying it right, Bris Sinai, Bris Sinai, and there's Bris Avos. Why do we do Bris Mila? This isn't what I read just on Rosh Hashanah, I'll tell you what I get. Why? Not because Hashem told Avraham Avinu, his Hadek Lefanevei, Samim Perigid Zion, do Bris Mila. That's not why. We do Bris Mila because at Mount and Torah we were commanded as a nation to do Bris Mila. That's what obligates us in mitzvos. Bris Sinai. How do you say in English? Sinaitic covenant? It sounds so fancy. Nice. So Rav Soloveitchik says, we are obligated to act as Jews because of the Sinaitic covenant, Bris Shel Sinai, and we are obligated to feel like Jews because of Bris Avos, because of the patriarchal covenant. I feel with absolute emunah that my tefillos are being channeled. Why? Because that's how Avraham Avinu felt. Because he woke up and he davened again. But it's smoking like the smoke of a lime pit. Ribbono Shel Olam. What did we discuss yesterday? And I went to sleep. God's going to answer me. And there's destruction. Dafka then, he davened again. Takes tremendous emuna and fortitude, courage and humility, dveikus and bitachon, to believe that every word of my prayer is heard on high. And just like the Ribbono Shel Olam remembered Avraham and saved Lot, and from Lot and this unbelievably unsanuah relation comes Moab, and from Moab comes Rus, and from Rus comes David Melech Yisrael, we believe because we are obligated to feel, because of the Bris Avos, that every tefillah you utter, every word, every tear, every heart, every expression of the neshama chitzonis and the neshama pnimis is heard, is accepted, and is channeled for the way Hashem knows it has to go. Yes?
Isn't it interesting that Yaakov did Marav? and he had the most Torah of anybody. He went through everything. We come from him because of the of Shiftei Kar. And the word Erev has so many meanings. You mentioned confusion, but it also means responsibility, and it also means swing. So he had a combination of all that. In our darkest times, he also went through all that, taking responsibility and sweetening. And our day starts with Maariv. We have to start with those.
Very nice. Beautiful. Kaiser Arevim Zad Bazad does not only mean all of Israel Geren Torah is a roof in 13b for one another, but all of Israel has to be nice. Ba'arva Lashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yushalayim. You have to be sweet to one another. Very nice. Beautiful. So with that, if you want to know what you think of during Shofar, said Rav Nassim, so you think of the person next to you. And if you need to put up a wall, make sure it's a choma and not a kir. Ba'ezra Hashem, we should be zochet to see our tefilos answered in a revealed, pleasant, uplifting, Usuris Tovos fashion. A Gemar V'Chasima Tova to you all. Thank you, everybody.